The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Fightful AEW Dynamite Post Show.
Yeah.
I'm Jeremy Lambert. It's not Sean Ross Sapp. Sean Ross Sapp has another night off for some reason. Took all weekend off to be in Chicago. Took tonight off to go to Cincinnati. He's going to take 2 weeks off. Does this guy ever work?
How dare he? It's just kind of disgraceful, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. We're out here busting our asses, and Sean just like, let me just make trips all across the country. What can you do? Guys, Robert DeFelice is here. He's this way.
I am.
This way.
There we go. Yes, I'm here. I'm very excited. I get to talk about Adam Cole. Usually only Alex gets that privilege, and I'm excited.
Alex Pawlowski is here.
Yes, I'm here.
Down there?
Yeah. Here. Hi. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about AEW some more. I got a chance to do the All Out post show, which was a hell of a lot of fun. And much, much longer than I think this particular episode of this show will be.
This show's going about 30 minutes, if I can help it. Give or take. We're going about 30 minutes here. Guys, leave a thumbs up on the video. Leave a thumbs up. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Alex, my girlfriend wants you to know that she loves your shirt. That'll cost her $5 for the super chat. and speaking of super chats, like the segue. Speaking of super chats, leave a super chat. Get your question, comment, statement read on the air. So please do that. Sign up to Fightful Select. Sean's breaking news all the damn time over there on Fightful Select. AEW Dynamite tonight, the fallout from All Out, is I think what they were billing it. If not, that's what I'm billing it now. And we open the show. Got a lot of super chats. Let's see. Luis, shout out to Luis Polito, who is always getting the super chats organized. We got some left over from listing your boy. Let's get these out of the way. Ten Ruza says Styles, Balor, Ricochet, Zayn, and AEW soon. Also, AEW in Australia ASAP, please, Tony. Let's kind of comment on this. The Kevin Owens news, his contract is up in January. People seem pretty certain he's going to AEW. And now, people saying Styles, Balor, Ricochet, all these guys. Everyone's going to AEW, right, Alex?
Everyone.
I mean, apparently everybody is. I mean, I feel like Styles has been handled pretty well. Like he's never not in a main program. He's always on TV. He's always booked pretty strong, even if they have no reason for it. I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually ended up in AEW, but right now I feel like there's no need for it. I think Owens/Steen is looking at like, hey, so I had all those title matches versus Reigns and they wouldn't put me over. And now I got to get decked by Logan Paul next week. That's going to be fun. And probably he's the one who says, yeah, I can't wait for that contract to run out. Let me tweet out the latitude and longitude of Mount Rushmore and then delete it real quick just to get everybody talking.
Yeah, and I don't blame Kevin Owens one bit for wanting to go because he had a really fun run in NXT in his first year on the main roster. But after that, it's been hit or miss. And Kevin Steen, when he shows up in AEW, because it seems pretty certain, is going to be one of the top stars, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I will not comment on Kevin Steen going to AEW because I need some material for a show called The Distraction tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern right here on YouTube.com/.
Just run it back. That works for Raw all the time.
No, no. See, we're better than Raw. That's why I'm not going to do that. We cannot compare ourselves to Raw. Are you kidding me? Before AEW Dynamite went on air on AEW Dark Elevation, which I assume this segment will air on Monday. Regardless, the match will air between Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia. After the match, Tony Khan came out, gave Lee Moriarty a contract. He accepted. Nikolai Kreese says, Lee Moriarty, All Elite, hyped. And Luis is very hyped because his tagline for this is Lee fucking Moriarty. So he's very excited for this as well. There you go. What do we think of Lee being All Elite, Robert?
I think this is one of the best independent wrestling signings they could have ever made. Bryan Danielson and Lee Moriarty are on the same roster now. That is amazing. That is something I could have never imagined 1 year ago. And I'm ready for it now.
Alex, you excited for Lee Moriarty now being officially All Elite?
Yeah, sure. I it's one of those deals where like Lee Moriarty's great. They're bringing in all these people. Like I also love Daniel Garcia, who, correct me if I'm wrong, is not signed, even though he's like main eventing Rampage. Maybe they can't yet or whatever, but like they have these great young indie types who are circling the AEW, and they're gonna sign a few of them. And then I go like, okay, so who's putting over these young guys to move them up the card, or are they going to basically be lower card guys putting on amazing matches but never quite getting over the hump, a la Dante Martin? Like, he's winning a bunch on Dark, they'll put him in a showcase match on Dynamite, and he'll lose, and he'll go right back on Dark. And if you watch the YouTube stuff, he's amazing. But I wonder, like, how many of those guys they can sign. I don't wonder how many Kevin Owens's can they sign. I wonder how many Lee Moriarty's can they sign.
All of them.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Aaron H. says, with Sean gone, we can start an Alex appreciation train with no repercussions. Hashtag Calix for life. Do people get yelled at for appreciating you, Alex?
No, yeah. Last week, every time somebody would put me over in the super chats, Sean would threaten to mute me. So you know,
fuck Sean Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. he obviously can't stand the fact that I'm more over than he is. Or actually, Kate is more over than either.
Yeah,
of us.
Big time.
Clip that, everybody. Nikolai Kreese says, give me Danielson tutoring Lee, Garcia, and Yuta. Yuta's yes. Best friends, and Garcia, yeah. he has different fathers. But Lee, yes, we certainly go with that one. Danielson's going to be like, yeah, I want to just pull a name out of a hat. Give me 12 minutes with him on Dark and let's just go. He's going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we kicked off the show with Malakai Black against Dustin Rhodes. Malakai Black picked up the victory, as I think many people expected. Kind of a rough ending on this one. That kick, a little wonky on the kick there, and Dustin kind of got his face smashed into the turnbuckle. That looked a little bit rough. Malakai gets the victory. We learned later on in the show that Malakai will take on Cody Rhodes in the rematch. Cody's just back. He's like, here you go. He retired, and now just in 2 weeks, he's back. What did you think of this match and the impending return of the Codester, Alex?
I was struck by how tall Dustin Rhodes is at the beginning of the match. Like I don't think of him as being as tall as he is, because Malakai Black is no slouch. Like he's like 6'2", 6'3", and like Dustin's big dude. And Dustin just didn't duck his head enough to take the kick, and Malakai got all of it in the shoulder meat, and they had to explain that away. Like Malakai Black got his foot all the way up there. That's as far as it goes. It doesn't go any further than that. So if you're gonna have a match with a guy who's that tall, they gotta help. And he didn't. I did expect Cody to like come back with a promo or like a video segment that he like emailed into the studio or whatever. that they would do the announcement of that match next week, like actually have Cody say, I'm challenging you to a rematch at Arthur Ashe, as opposed to, oh, by the way, this thing's happening in a couple of weeks. But did I think they were going to do it at Arthur Ashe? I always kind of thought they were going to. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. So I guess ends justify the means.
Yeah, I could have seen this match go a little shorter. I think Malakai should still be running through people, and he didn't quite get there with either Lee Johnson or Dustin Rhodes. But as far as Cody coming back, I would have preferred a little more fanfare, and usually that's all Cody does is fanfare. Mm-hmm. So this was very weird to have him just, okay, he's back. Maybe he doesn't show up at all, and then he kind of glides down into the stadium at Arthur Ashe, and that's his big return. I don't know, but I'm sure the match will be very, very good.
Cody's got to get that New York pop, man. He wasn't going to miss that stadium show. Are you kidding me? Cody, he loves that stuff. No way. He's gonna take credit for drawing the house.
I'm surprised he didn't find a way on to All Out. Like, you know what I mean? Just to be, oh, hey, everybody, I'm here.
I expected at some point for him to just rise up.
Just, yeah.
I expected it. Malakai, the Cody stuff was great. Everything, the follow-up is a little weak. I didn't like when Arn Anderson just like that.
Yeah, that was bad. That was the worst kick, part of all this. Was that
very
was that.
Weak. And then tonight, kick wasn't looking great. I have faith that the Cody match will be good in a couple of weeks. I do worry about that finish.
Yeah.
Moving on, we get highlights from the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros match, which was awesome. And we get Eddie Kingston and Miro cutting promos on each other, which fucking ruled. And Miro ices his balls, just like Eddie Kingston had to ice his balls.
No. I will offer your broken bones to my bride, and I will offer your soul to my God. Miro is is number one on my top 500. I love Miro. He's my favorite thing in wrestling right now. He's got the best promos, and he murders people. How do you not love Miro? He's my favorite guy in the world.
Miro is fantastic. I say it every week. Sean tried to say last week that CJ, there's no plans for CJ to come in. I really don't care. This man has made it very clear. The only thing he cares about in life is Jesus and his wife. And at some point, he's going to lose that belt, and his wife is not going to be happy. And that's what I can't wait for.
I want Miro in a hotel room. You don't have to bring in Lana, CJ, in any like official capacity. Have him like in the hotel room, and she's just on the bed in the background after, you know, being redeemed by Miro. And like that's all we really need, right? Just have her back there. That's good. That's all we need out of her. If they want to bring her in some official capacity, that's fine. But just like just a little wink and a nod. Yep. To everything. I'm completely fine. Completely fine with that. CM Punk came out and he's still happy-go-lucky CM Punk. He was very excited about his victory over Darby Allin. Then he took a survey with the crowd, and he's like, who should I face next? I heard some chants for Paul White. I think someone would probably know who started that chant. And then Taz, who was on commentary because Excalibur is getting married, good for him. Taz stands up and he's like, don't talk about my team Taz, guys. Punk looks very confused. And he's like, I didn't say anything about team Taz. And Taz is like, in all of your media and stuff, which is fair. He's mentioned Starks and Hobbs in the 3 million media interviews that he's done in the past 2 weeks. But we could add a little nod to them in this promo here. And we get Hobbs and Hook coming out, and Punk's like, all right, you know, if that's what's next. He did the beat me if you can, survive if I let you, which was Taz's famous line when he was putting fools in the Kata Hajime in ECW. And then Punk left, had a little stare down with Hobbs and Hook. And Hook is going to murder this man.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Whenever they allow him to. Robert, what do you think?
That's very clear. First of all, first thing he said was, give me Hook. He wants Hook. He knows who the star is. It's Hook. Hook versus CM Punk, Arthur Ashe, book it. But this is a fun promo. Punk is so happy to be alive, and that is so refreshing to see. And at some point, he's going to get in the ring with Ricky Starks and Hobbs, and it's going to be great. And how can you want more from CM Punk than what you're getting?
Alex?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things of like, okay, he beat Darby. And it was a great match. I loved it. I loved everything. I loved they put out a little like awesomely edited video of some of the highlights of All Out, and then some like immediate interviews with people after the whole thing. And Punk's was just perfect. He was like, Darby is way tougher than I thought he was, and I thought he was one of the toughest guys in the world. The thing about it is, after this match, he's only going to get tougher. So everybody's asking me, who's going to be next? All I can say is, I hope it's not Darby Allin. Like, that's what a wonderful way to put over that guy that now you've won and done with, and you move on. I thought that was great, and I thought they were going to have something more planned for Punk's next feud than, let's say, Survey Says. I didn't know they were going to do that. I'd love to see Punk versus Starks. That'd be really cool. Can we make Punk the FTW champion and have him defend the belt? Everyone's like, Punk's just gonna go right. He's gonna make it all about himself and go right after the big title because he's Punk. What if he goes after the FTW title and insists on defending it every week in an open challenge? Wouldn't that be a lot of fun? Can we do that?
I can see that happening. I can see that being every Friday on Rampage too. Just him defending the FTW title.
I didn't like the survey stuff. I thought like the start of the promo. I'm with Taz. This happy-go-lucky. Ah, cool. You're a little fanfare. Take your video.
You're not fooling me. You ain't fooling me.
I'm not a fan of that stuff. It made sense for the Darby program. I got it. He's back and everything. That's not the Punk I want to see. I think this Team Taz feud is gonna bring out like the wrestler CM Punk. Not Phil Brooks happy to be back in wrestling, but the actual wrestler CM Punk, and he's gonna start actually like eviscerating people on promos, and he's gonna be in there with some top guy because we know Starks can talk and we know Taz can talk. Hobbs looks like a badass. Hook is going to murder him. I'm excited for this program. I could have lived without the first 5 minutes of this promo and the survey stuff. Once Taz stood up, even though it was a little awkward, where he's like, don't talk about my guys when you didn't talk about my guys. But how he got there, a little rough. What's to come? Very excited for.
Yeah.
Backstage, Ruby Soho is there. Oh, we do have I'll comment on that super chat when we get to that match. Ruby Soho is backstage with Britt, and Britt interrupts her talking to Shivani. And it hits her with the catering line. And Eloquent says, Britt with the catering line. Ouch. Some people are saying the line is played out. What do we make of the catering line?
Britt's a heel. Like, yeah, it's a fantastic, it's a, like Britt would absolutely say, why would I be concerned about you? You couldn't even get on TV in the other place. Like, why would, like, that would make sense to me. And the point is, we should show is that you should be concerned about Ruby because she's great, but watch her take you to the limit. Like, that should be the thing we're doing here. I feel like the line, like, obviously, is it low hanging fruit? Sure, but it's low hanging fruit because it's so ripe. You just want to pluck it right there. Perfect. Yeah. And then we do it once and we move on. Like, I think it was a perfect thing to say, and we don't need to harp on it, but we can move on.
Exactly. And Ruby perfectly looked at Shivani. Hey, I know she's your girl, but I'm gonna kick her ass.
That's good.
That's all you need to say. Now she got the feud over. Now this thing is over. Perfect.
I didn't have an issue with it. It's a nice little dig, right? Like,
it gets fun. Social media talking, and that's all they really wanted to do.
We don't need it for everybody who comes to AEW.
No.
Like, but Britt
absolutely would use that, especially because she's like, she kind of knows how it works over there. So like she would be able to say, you know, yeah. I thought it was fine. I thought it was actually really well played.
Cyclops is better than Wolverine, says Britt. Hayter, Reba, and Tony are the mean girls of AEW. But Tony's got to rethink his position after a segment that came a little bit later. But Britt, Hayter, and Reba certainly are the mean girls. Powerhouse Hobbs against Dante Martin. Alex, did you not like this match? You were a little down on we're pushing Dante Martin, but then we're gonna have him lose here. Like, what's your beef with this?
I love Dante Martin, and it's one of those things of like, no, I think this is where he's at. They don't have a little guy's division, so he's gonna have to face the big dudes occasionally. Hobbs apparently is ranked number two, like, in everybody. So somebody's. I don't think he's getting a title shot versus Kenny at any point soon. So somebody's going to have to beat him to knock him back down the rankings. This is why I love AEW, because as soon as you say wins and losses matter, here are our rankings, and we book Will Hobbs to wind up at number two, he's going to have to lose a match to get knocked back down the card, unless you're actually going to put him in the title match, which I don't think they have plans on. And Dante is, this is what Dante is supposed to do. He's so much fun to watch. And the problem is for me, in a match like this, he's not as fun to watch because all of his stuff, he can't do it to great effect because Hobbs is so big and strong, can snatch him out of the air or whatever. He was also, the end of the match felt very labored. I feel like they were selling like how hard Dante was working just to do anything to Hobbs. And Hobbs was winded because he doesn't have the same kind of stamina that Dante does. So we're both like moving at half speed. So I was kind of surprised that it ended when it did, simply because it didn't feel like they had built up boom, 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 and now is the finish. But I love Dante Martin. I love him, and I need him to wind up, not now, but in 6 months, to be at a point where he can win these matches.
They're going to go to the Impact Zone with Dark, and Dante Martin is going to be one of the faces of that show, and it'll be great. I think Hobbs here was fantastic. He caught him right out of a tope suicida and just stopped it, which was perfect.
Yeah.
The ending was weird. He kind of hit a spine buster, and it was like a delayed pin, and they still got the three. It didn't feel as impactful as it should if you're going to fight CM Punk. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
I think you're a hater, Alex Pulowski, on Dante Martin here. Did you know he's 20? Did you know he's younger?
He's very, very young.
Than Dominic Mysterio?
No, Dominic Mysterio is at least 4 years younger than Dante Martin, yeah, I believe, yeah, according to Michael Cole.
I like that they gave Dante some wins on Dark to build him up a little bit. And then Hobbs should have won this match. I thought Dante was the right opponent for him because he looked impressive just kind of throwing him around. Look, CM Punk's not going to be doing a bunch of dives and stuff on him, but Punk He's bigger than Dante. He's still kind of a smaller dude, especially compared to Hobbs. A lot of people are smaller compared to Hobbs.
Yeah.
But like when he tosses around CM Punk, it's going to continue to look impressive. I love that he caught him on the dive and threw him between the ropes and everything. I thought this was a good win. I thought this was a good use of both guys. Of you built up Dante a little bit on Dark to show that that means a little bit of something. And then you gave Hobbs a victory over a guy who had been getting victories on Dark. I'd like to see them do just sort of more of this. And I think this is where you're going to see a lot of like the Garcias and Moriartys and stuff. They're going to build up stuff on Dark. They're going to get wins on Dark and they're going to come to Dynamite and they might lose matches. And that's okay if they lose matches. As long as they're losing matches to the right people, Will Hobbs, another young guy who you're going to push.
Oh yeah.
So that is what you certainly want. And then, you know, he's not losing to these veteran guys. And even if he was losing to these veteran guys, fine. Like, but he's losing to another young guy. And the rankings, I don't care about the rankings. Robert knows where I stand on the rankings. They put these things out at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, are we really doing this? Like, it's stupid. But they flash that record on there. And people are like, oh man, he's 23-4. Like, he's got a good record and stuff. He must be good. I think this is the way to do it. Nothing? Anything?
Oh, look, right. I mean, the good thing about AEW rankings, no matter how late they put them up on a Wednesday night, is that it's not like Goldberg rankings where they're clearly fabricating the numbers. You can go back and see exactly how Hobbs got to number two. So even though he's not going to fight Kenny, at some point he will get a title shot. I think this Punk feud is going to go a long way to say, okay, now you're a made man. But in order to get there, he needs a few more impressive wins before I believe, okay, you're really going to beat up CM Punk.
Cyclops is better than Wolverine says, I'm so ready for the Hobbs push. I can see TNT title soon. I think it's too early for the TNT title. People are like, oh, MJF is going to win this title. Darby's going to win this title. And Hobbs winning the TNT title. They have so much stuff in place. These guys are so young. They don't need all these titles right away. And it's not going to be the end of the world if they don't win these titles within a year or so. Like, Miro's on a hell of a run right now. You can put that belt on Kingston and be fine. Cody's definitely going to come back and win it within the next 6 months or so. So they got plenty of stuff. These guys are very young. It'll be okay if they're not there within the next year.
People get used to it. It takes time to get used to. Okay, it's not WWE booking where you got a hot shot into the title because that's the only way they can be relevant. So it'll take some time, but people will get there.
Mark Losper says, it looked like Hobbs got knocked goofy on the dive, made the ending look weird. And to Alex's point, that did look a little weird. A rough night for finishes. Rough night for finishes.
Yeah.
Moving on the show here. What do we got? Proud and Powerful promo package. And they're coming after the titles. Maybe they're doing another match with FTR. I'm not sure, but it does look like they're coming after the titles.
Yeah.
A lot of people speculating the Arthur Ashe match. I don't know if it's a time for that match. I think it was if it was the Young Bucks, but for the Lucha Bros, I don't know. What do you think, Robert?
You do Proud and Powerful FTR 2 out of 3 falls. And they have a barn burner, and that's what they do in New York. They don't need to face the Lucha Bros because the Lucha Bros are hot off of one of the best cage matches I've ever seen in my life. So I'm not even sure they need to wrestle at Arthur Ashe. Just put Proud and Powerful against FTR, and I think you're good to go.
This is the thing about AEW that I love, is they're not afraid to put two really hot acts in the ring together and have one of them lose. Like, if Proud and Powerful have an amazing match versus the Lucha Bros, but they lose that match, it doesn't mean they're never going to get another title shot. I mean, I don't see them being booked to take the titles off of the Lucha Bros, but it doesn't mean they can't have the great match. I think that there's certain ways they can get around all this, but the shock of the Lucha Bros becoming the tag champs, because I certainly didn't see it coming, kind of switches up my predicted plans for the tag titles at Arthur Ashe. But I still think you can do it. I just don't know. Honestly, I don't know what Proud and Powerful's spot in the rankings is. I don't know who's number two is, because they always like to say, oh, they're the number four ranked tag team, the number three ranked tag. I don't know what that is. I have to go and look that up. But I'm not sure who gets that title match in 2 weeks. So
I believe Proud and Powerful are number four, and they've proven in the past you can just do a match with any of the top five.
You can just so do it.
It's fine. But I think the FTR feud is still where the money is, and they need to close that out first.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do, you said 2 out of 3 falls. I don't know if you can go that long on Authorash. That Cody and Malachi, that whole segment is going to be about a half hour with Cody's entrance and milking all of that, plus the match, plus Cody's post-match, where he's got to continue to milk the reaction. Go ahead, Alex.
I mean, we can talk about what we think that card's going to be. I think they're going to do Britt and Ruby there. Probably it's one of their biggest shows. Let's defend the women's belt. We'll talk. Like they're apparently setting up a huge match for Kenny there as well. And they already got Malachi and Cody, and then probably the tag belts are going to be defended. Maybe the TV title. That's 5 matches right there in 2 hours with a whole bunch of other stuff, and those matches are all going to be longer. So they might add maybe a 6th, maybe a 7th match. Like, I doubt there'd be much more than that. So, like, you can't put everything on the Arthur Ashe card. As much as we all love to see all of our favorites on there, I don't think we can get a whole lot. I can't imagine they're going to do a Lucha Bros tag team title match and a different high-profile tag match with 2 different teams. But
what you can do is film one of them at Arthur Ashe and run it on Friday for Rampage.
You can do that. And I'm completely fine. And I assume Rampage is going to be taped at that venue.
I would.
I'm fine if you want to do Proud and Powerful against FTR on Rampage and do that 2 out of 3 falls. Yeah. Completely fine with that. I don't think Lucha Bros are going to have a match, at least not a title match at Arthur Ashe.
I don't think they need to.
Yeah. Dan Lambert got a promo.
Is that what that was?
I don't know.
So I don't hate this. I know a lot of people who really like this.
Are you muted?
Yeah. He didn't hate it, so I muted him for not hating it, because you have to hate this stuff. It's in the bylaws that you must hate this promo.
Well God, I thought I was safe from this without Sean, but here we are.
No, yeah, never.
I didn't hate this, but I don't like the pairing with the Men of the Year. I think that's ridiculous. Throw Tom Lawler in the ring with Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki. That's all I want to see. That's where we need to go.
Alex, did you hate this?
I did. I hate Dan Lambert. I hate everything that he's doing. I don't love those promos at all. It seems very, very obvious that he is a stand-in for a certain type of wrestling fan. And I feel like it's just on the nose. Like, we get it. You don't need to do it. But I love seeing Paige and Sky on my TV. I'd love to see them wrestle. So you guys could like stop going like, I bet you there's none of you fat virgins in the audience is man enough to come up to this 800 level suite and fight my boys here. Like, no, we're probably not, but could maybe one of the guys in the locker room could like answer an open challenge. I don't know. If you're so desperate to have your friends, Ethan and Scorpio, fight somebody, how about you go to Tony Khan and get a match booked? Apparently, it's really easy to do.
Also, I thought Archer was like, everybody dies. They jumped him like 4 weeks ago. Why hasn't he just shown up behind them and chucked them off the balcony? <I don't know. laughs>
Mark Losper says Dan Lambert needs to get lost. And the Nerd Guru says, is Lambert supposed to be Vince? No. He's saying they don't like the small, not manly guys coming in. I hate this. It needs to get the fuck out.
Lambert's not Vince, pal.
He's not Vince. He's not Vince, but he's a certain type of wrestling fan. I will say that.
I think Dan Lambert's shtick has a place in AEW. Not really. It's go away heat. And it does not need to be attached to Scorpio and Ethan Page, because Ethan Page can certainly cut his own promos. Like, also, he does not need Dan Lambert to cut these promos for him.
No,
Also, this past January, I wrote an article about Ethan Page dying because Karate Man Ethan Page ripped his own heart out. I don't think that necessarily meshes with what Lambert is saying, but whatever.
That's a different Ethan Page.
Sure.
It's a different company. What happened in that other company?
It's a multiverse. I got it.
Yeah. Ken Shira says, Lambert putting over the guy who got his heart Let's ripped see? Out by himself as a real badness who doesn't do goofy stuff is so odd.
There see? You go.
Yes. Look, it's go away heat for me. I'm just like, you can do heel stuff and it doesn't have to be this. And we saw that in the next segment with MJF, where he comes out and he first off said that he was robbed against Chris Jericho. He had him beat him in the middle of the ring, but some nonsense wackiness happened. And then he turned his attention to Aunt Linda and the Pillman family. After burying Cincinnati and Skyline and the Reds suck. I'm a Reds fan. They lost to the Cubs tonight. Just garbage losing to the Cubs, dropping the series to the Cubs. So MJF was right about that. And then he turned his attention to Aunt Linda and the Pillman family, buried them, caught 16 and pregnant, which got old. Took shots at Brian Pillman's wife, Melanie, and Brian Pillman Jr. came out, kind of rallied the Cincinnati troops there. MJF continued to just eviscerate Pillman Jr. and his entire family. Yeah, Metheny is what he called her. I think people might be divided on this promo of like, oh, he went too far, he shouldn't have said that, and everything. To me, this is actual heel work of what you want to do, because you want to attack your opponent in this way. I come from a lot of watching of battle rap. They can be friends afterwards and stuff. Like, it's a show when you're against each other like that. You go after them with whatever you can, and that is what MJF did. I thought this was great. It was genuine heat, unlike the Dan Lambert stuff, which is just like, get this guy off of my television screen. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love MJF. I think he's fantastic. I love that he's able to be like, listen, I was screwed. Obvious, listen, I beat that guy 3 times before. I only lost this one, and I didn't because I beat him a fourth time, and then they restarted the match. So now I'm 4-1 against Jericho. So what do you think about that? I thought that was great. Move it. He can move on from this. We never have to do any of that ever again, please. And MJF can move on and do other things now, bigger and better things. And Jericho can slink away to commentary, even though he still gets to technically wrestle on AEW again. I thought it was really great that they were able to establish via Punk earlier, putting over Aunt Linda Pillman, you know, like Brian Pillman's aunt, for raising him and everything and being that rock from that episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I thought it was great that he was able to do that, so it drew attention to her in a positive light, so that 20 minutes later, whenever it was, MJF could come out and destroy this old lady and her whole family and all this stuff. And then, like, some of the stuff was, like, your mom, your drug addict mom, like, she's been very public about her past addiction problems. Like, it's not like he's like, oh, no, it's not, like, he said it. It's a horrible thing for him to say, but guess what? Like, they keep saying, like, the objective play-by-play announcers are like, MJF is a piece of shit. Like, it's like, he's the worst human being alive. That's a quote from Jim Ross. So, like, it's okay that he says all these things. The thing that was biggest part of this segment to me entirely was the Wardlow and MJF stuff, because they're breaking off Wardlow from MJF. It's a weird thing to do personally. I think it might be a little too early. I thought we were definitely going to get a section of their partnership where MJF had a belt and Wardlow was behind him for all those matches. I thought we were going to get that point, but they seem to be really fast tracking that thing because MJF was pretty much a piece of shit to Wardlow, and Wardlow didn't save him when he should have, maybe early enough. So I thought we were doing all this so they were going to make a match, Pillman versus MJF for Rampage, but they made it for Arthur Ashe.
which is like
not official.
Not official, I suppose, yet. But it seems like that's a really obviously Pillman gets to have a big spot in his hometown. But maybe not Arthur Ashe for me yet.
Yeah. I thought this promo was genius. MJF is the only person who can do this stuff and really make people hate him. He said that Melanie could have given birth to many other second-generation wrestlers, and I thought that was just a really biting line. Anybody who thinks this was too far needs to look at what they actually put the Pillman family through. So there's that. Then the Wardlow thing, I disagree with Alex. I don't think they're splitting them up yet because MJF just pissed that he lost. He'll get over it.
Wardlow's pissed about being talked to.
Yeah, I was about to say.
MJF yeah, but they do this every time MJF loses, and then they get back together and everything's fine. So they're not breaking them up yet.
MJF might be upset that he lost and Wardlow didn't help. Wardlow, at some point, and we saw glimpses of it here, where he did not save him immediately and then kind of let him go by a little bit. He ain't going to be dealing with MJF talking to him like this for too long. I think I'm with you, Alex. I thought they were going to kind of hold off on this a little bit longer until like MJF maybe had a title run, and maybe they will. I'm kind of with both of you in that, like, I thought they were going to hold off until MJF had a title run, and I still think they're going to hold off until MJF has a title run. I don't think it's coming yet, but they are planting these seeds. They've been planting them. They continue to plant them basically after every time MJF loses. MJF will pick up some wins. Wardlow might help him a little bit, but there's going to become that breaking point. And when it does, it's going to be magical. Wardlow will be the new Batista, which is what everyone wants. Jack Crosby is just going to throw a big old celebration when this happens.
Yeah.
I genuinely think we have at least another 6 months to a year before we actually see Wardlow break off from MJF.
That would be very long term. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I might be with you. I might be with you.
I think they do it around Full Gear.
Wow. So you're saying like 2 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay. Let's take a bet here. What are you guys willing to risk on this?
I'm not risking anything.
Come on. What are we doing? Double or nothing. All in. All out. Full Gear on the line.
I'll take the two inbox turtle action figures.
No, you won't, because I'm not putting those on. I'm not putting those up for anything.
Leave a super chat for what you think Alex and Robert should risk on this bet here. Does Wardlow turn on MJF by Full Gear? If it happens at Full Gear or before, what does Alex get? And if it happens after Full Gear, what does Robert get? Leave us a super chat. Leave us a
comment. Gotta give me some leeway. If it happens on the Dynamite after Full Gear, I still win.
Fair. What if we go? We'll give you through the end of the year.
Okay. Alex. All right. For the end of the calendar year. All right.
They do some big stuff in December. So I'm willing to extend this all the way to December. All right. Let us know what you think. We should have them put up for grabs here on this one. A lot of super chats on this one. Tom Carina says MJF was literal gold tonight on the stick. It's a travesty. He was only ranked 26 on the PWI 500. Where was he on your PWI 500, Alex?
Well, I don't have a PWI 500. I just have like guys I really love, and Miro's number one. I think MJF 8. He's in the top 10 somewhere. I don't know.
Wow. That's high. Where was he on the DeFelice 500?
He's definitely in the top 5.
Definitely. Wow. You guys are high on MJF. He's great. He's about like maybe 32 for me.
I assume you and Joseph will run down your entire Distraction 500 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Joseph is working on a fleet 500 or fleet. It might be a 100 because I don't know if they might have 500 guys.
They might have 500 guys right now. Yeah. Moriarty is the 500th.
Yeah, he's legit doing a fleet 100 at the end of the year. He's putting like real effort into this too. Of course, the Distraction 500, it's just going to be Luther number one. And who gives a shit about the rest of these guys? That's it. So that's our list. 32 out of 500 is good. I agree. Bill's Mafia knows Luther, number one on the Distraction 500. Doug Cannon says, I thought MJF and Pillman Jr. was the best part of the show. There you go. I think it was like the hottest part of the show.
Yeah.
Mark Losberry says, much as I love the MJF promo, how is this different from the stuff the Acclaim did a few weeks ago with the rap? They weren't touching on mental health. And, you know, that is just a very touchy subject. And I think that was where the Max Caster really went wrong.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and assume that maybe not specific wording, but MJF cleared it with Brian in the back. I'm gonna say something like this or whatever. And because I'm assuming that, because you can't clear that with somebody you're not even who's not even there. Like it's also kind of a global thing that Caster did, as opposed to like, your mom is this. It's like everything is what you know, Max. It might have a global line from Caster.
I would assume that Tony Khan, MJF, and everybody sat down with Brian, Brian's sister, and Aunt Linda, and said, look, here's what we're going to do. We love that you're here. Thank you. Unlike what Max Caster did, which was a little more on the vulgar side.
Max Caster, here's the thing, is he did the line about Pillman and Dark Side of the Ring. He did the lines about Julia Hart. No one, right or wrong, seemed to take issue with like that stuff. It was mainly the Simone Biles stuff and the Duke LaCrosse stuff.
Yeah.
And I think to Alex's point, and both your points really, is like they were able to clear that with the people involved with that. You can't clear the stuff with, you know, Duke and Simone Biles. So I think that's a little bit where Max Caster went kind of out of line with things. More super chats on this. What do we got here? Mike Provencher, the second, says, I think they don't want Pillman to lose in his hometown, so they'll feed Caster to him on Rampage. He'll lose to MJF at Arthur Ashe. He's not beating MJF at Arthur Ashe. And no. Pillman did deserve the match in his hometown, a match in his hometown. I'm glad he's getting it in Rampage. Ruby Soho against Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter signed the open contract to face Ruby. They had, all right, I gotta ask this. The electric chair drop spot where she had her up on her shoulders and fell backwards and it turned into a face smash. Was this a planned counter? Because it looked very good, but it also did not look like this was what they were trying to do. What do you think, Robert?
It probably wasn't what they were going for, but I think it was a happy accident. It looked pretty good on the way down, and it is what it is. Sometimes you got to make it up as you go along.
Yeah, if they were going for a poison Rana, that was not what they were achieving. I wonder if Hayter was supposed to pull her back up and then like maybe forward into a victory roll, and Hayter just lost her footing. Like maybe that was the spot, but I thought it looked really real. Like that's what might you wouldn't be able to just like, hey, poison Rana immediately in an actual fight. Somehow, if you wound up on somebody's shoulders, you would just try and get them down any way you could. And I thought it looked fine.
I thought it turned out okay. It looked rough. It looked scary. They covered it well. I thought this match was good, not great. I do think there was some rough spots. It certainly looked like Ruby had some ring rust on her. And, you know, that's kind of to be expected here. Hayter is just a beast, just an absolute monster. Ruby will be fine with getting, you know, getting her footing back under her and everything. But she looked a little bit rusty in this match. She got the victory, as you would expect. But what do you think of this match overall, Robert?
I thought it was good. Ruby coming in, winning the Battle Royal, immediately wrestling is different. And that's what they need. They need her on the roster because they need emphasis on the women. So was it the cleanest match? No, but she'll get there. And the theme song is half of the act and everybody loves it, including Taz, who broke out into song, which was my favorite part of the whole show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead. Yeah, their theme song is super over already. It'll only get more and more so. I love it. And I thought that yeah, you're right. Ruby did have some ring rust on her, but that's to be expected. But Ruby as a baby face is mostly just gonna like she winds up getting punched in the mouth, and then she sells like a mad woman. Like just like she always just looks like she's shaking cobwebs out and can barely stand. And it's great against women who like Hayter. Like, it's fantastic. I really enjoy watching Ruby in a match where she gets to fight from underneath, and the match isn't 3 minutes long, which is all the matches that she got as a singles competitor in WWE. And this is actually telling a story. Like, she does have ring rust, and she's up against Britt's enforcer. And if she hits you with that kick, you might be out for the count. And I think that that's a really good story to tell with Ruby. I think, is she going to hit that kick on Britt, but Britt rolls out of the ring before she can pin her? Is it a foot on the ropes near fall? What's going to be that story when Ruby hits that kick on Britt? And there's a lot of stuff you can set up here in the coming weeks before you get to that match, and I'm looking forward to it.
James Edward Smith says, Jamie Hayter kind of kicks ass, huh? She looks like an anime villain now. And Norm Summers says, watch Dynamite at the bar. Non-wrestling fans popped for Ruby. They figured out their own that Britt was a dentist. I told them Ruby was a guidance counselor. What's Ruby's second job? What do we think? What do we think it is? Is it a guidance counselor?
You like that really cool guidance counselor that tries to like level with the kids and understand them.
Alex, what if Ruby Soho was not wrestling, what would she be?
She's like a like she works at like a halfway house with like kids who just got out of like kids who are like aged out of the system. They're not able to be in foster's care anymore, so they have to live there. And she totally gets it because she used to be one of those kids. So she's able to like turn her chair around and rap with them. Like, she's that kind of really cool. She's the really cool what's it called, like social worker or something like that.
Yeah, but to be clear, that's a not for profit. So she makes her money by selling custom vests on Etsy.
Yes, that's great. Perfect.
She's clearly just a rock star, right? Like, she's the lead singer of a band. That's what she's doing. If she's not making money though.
That's how it happens sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. She's trashing hotel rooms. She's living the rock star lifestyle, but doesn't actually make it big. Or maybe has the one hit that kind of she lives off of that one for a little while. After the match, we had Britt and Rebel attack Ruby, and then Riho and Statlander made the save to set up the trios match on Rampage. R26 says, great to see Riho back on TNT. And the Nerd Guru says, kind of disgusts me that Britt jobbed to Nia in WWE.
Yeah, that happened. But Britt was also super new in the industry, so it is what it is, and that's just how it goes. I like Riho and Statlander with Ruby. She's clearly made for these kind of misfit groups, and you can do some cool six-woman tags, and it'll be a lot of fun.
What do we think of, we kind of know that Riho wasn't eliminated in the Battle Royal, and she tweeted about it as well. Do we think that they actually address this on television? They showed clips from the Battle Royal, but do they turn this into anything, Alex?
I don't know. I missed that. I missed her not being eliminated, and I feel bad about it. I think that AEW should address it. I don't know how. Rio is my 100% least favorite former AEW Women's Champion. Wow. Never got into her. I don't see it. I don't know what I don't. I'm sure she's incredibly talented. Like, I don't have any connection to her. It never worked for me at all. And I'm glad she's back. I think she can add a lot to the division. I just think she was way too far up the card to begin the women's division. And that was just a thing for me that I thought that we needed something to really latch onto. And going from her to Nyla, it felt like they got stopped, started so many times with that women's division. Maybe that's the reason why we still only get one women's match on Dynamite. Like, it's just kind of those things that they still are trying to figure out how to do that. Like, this is, I'll use the time now to say it. Like, that Diamante and Swole match, the three strikes match that they did last night, like, that should have been on Dynamite. Like, it needed to be on. I don't know. Like, you could listen. I love FTR. Like none other. That six man tag could have been on Dark, and you could have done Swole versus Diamante, the big blow off match. That was a really great match. The crowd was hot for it. You could have done it. You could have done it tonight. I feel like if you're gonna run these women's programs on Dark and Dark Elevation, you can figure out a way to do the big blow-off match on Dynamite, giving these women the spotlight they deserve. It's been too long. We're just having one match for the women on Dynamite. You got to have two now.
I agree with you 100%. Maybe the philosophy was, we did this whole feud on Dark, let's pay it off on Dark, but this should have been on Dynamite, because this was a really good match with a really interesting stipulation, and maybe less people saw it. Well, it's guaranteed less people saw it, but you know, maybe more people would be into Big Swole, Diamante, if they saw them on the regular weekly television program.
I think instead of just doing a little thing where they run the who won, who beat who on the scroll on the bottom, they should have a 45-second highlight package. This is what happened on Dark. This is what's been happening on Dark. If you told a bunch of people last week, hey, Swole and Diamante have been having these awesome matches and this really cool feud, next week on Dark, or ideally next week on Dynamite, they're going to have a three strikes match to blow off the feud. Maybe more people would tune into it, as opposed to just like running a little scroll on the bottom. Because all it said was Big Swole defeats Diamante. And if you think you can boil down that match to that, then you're not doing it right. You've got to figure out a way to make that thing a pop more for the fans.
I've been saying it since they've started Dark, and then added Dark Elevation and stuff. Just put a highlight package on Dynamite. It does not take much. Just put a highlight package on Dynamite. Catch fans up. I like that they do a little scrolling thing. That's good. That, you know, helps people kind of know what's going on. But put a quick highlight package on there. Cut the Dan Lambert promo. No one needs that.
No one needs that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Evan Wright says Ruby is the real lead singer of Fozzy. Brandon Charles Powell says, I had a music teacher in high school who looks very similar to Ruby Soho. It is Ruby Soho. I can't deny or confirm if they are the same person. There you go. And Brandon Towngate says, I like that Alex's backstory for Ruby Soho is actually Thunder Rosa's backstory. Love that the women's division is finally getting built. They're getting a trios match. I mean, they're getting treated like the men, right? We got 300 men's trios matches on all these shows. Now we finally get a women's trios match.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to play a word from our sponsors. But before we do that, I have a very important question for both of you. Would you rather have $500,000 or dinner with Jay-Z? Robert?
$500,000.
Yeah, Alex. I'll take $100,000 before a dinner with Jay-Z.
I hear you. Times are rough. We just got out of a wild situation, a wild year, and people are saying, you know what, it's a hard knock life. But I disagree. Instead, I believe it's a hard cock life when you use Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL, and you get your first shipment free. Free? All you got to do is pay $5 shipping? Blue Chew is made with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work, but they work on your schedule. Full stomach, empty stomach, ready to go, want to get in the mood, Blue Chew has you covered. Instead of treated, we get tricked. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. I don't think so. More like somebody's getting dicked when you use BlueChew.com. No awkward conversations with the doctor. Because, I mean, you know, I'm all about not being awkward. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. It's because they work with their online physicians to get the active ingredient you need, and it ships straight to your door. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL will get you your first shipment free. That's how confident they are. Free. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Hardcock life.
Hey, well, Sean Ross Sapp always finds a way onto these shows.
I think it's obnoxious that he has that action figure of himself in the corner there, but whatever. Like, all right, man, we get it. You're big money, Sean. Got it. Like,
it is a reference to Annie, but it's also a reference to Jay-Z. Don't hate on my segue.
It's also a reference to Austin Powers, Golden.
There you go. We had a Starks and Cage promo. Guess we're getting that match again at some point. FTR and Sean Spears against Dark Order. The match was short, at least, and the Dark Order continues to implode. A lot of fighting. Anna Jay and Tay Conte, the true leaders of Dark Order here, telling everybody to just calm down, get on the same page, and it ain't working. It is not working at all. Stephen Boachick says, new prediction, Hangman comes back in Rochester to do the button-up, do descent and wins the belt in Norfolk. And Tom Karina McGinney says, during the Dark Order melee, JR said Dark Order doesn't have a clear leader. Thoughts on either Adam Page, Bray, or someone else to fill that? Who is it, Robert?
First of all, when Bray got released, I jokingly tweeted, oh, he should be the leader of the Dark Order. I got so many, like, just angry tweets about people. Well, they have negative one. They don't need another leader. Okay, look, I get it. I know they have the child, and the child is great. But I think Anna coming together to say, no, you guys need to get your shit together, is beautiful. It makes all the sense in the world. For the time being, I don't care about that. I'm glad the Pinnacle was back on my television screen, because how long has it been, Alex?
Too long. 2 months?
I'm glad they're back on my screen. Give me more Pinnacle. Give me more of this, because that's the wrestling I want to see. Dark Order is great. They'll finish that story later. But the Pinnacle are fucking awesome.
Yeah, agreed. The Pinnacle. You'd think maybe the Pinnacle was the one that had to break up because they lost. Like, no. Those guys should be never seen without each other. Like, I just think that they've established themselves so greatly as this force, and I want to see more of them all the time. It is kind of like the Dark Order. Like, they had a Evil Uno versus Five on Dark, and the crowd was chanting, "Please don't fight." Like, the crowd is really legitimately broken up about the fact that these guys are breaking up, and I think that it's a really cool thing that they've done. Like, nobody hates can they coexist tag team wrestling more than I do, but at least this makes sense from a broader story perspective. Like, without Paige around, these guys are lost and they're having infighting because they don't know what to do. They've lost their rudder, and I think that it's a really cool way to story. And of course, the thing that makes the most sense is for when Paige comes back, they can all rally around each other and around him, and it'll be perfect. And I think that there's something they can do with that. I mean, I suppose they could bring in Bray to be the, like, negative one could say, like, you've all been you have no direction because you don't have a leader. I have decided to bring in a leader. It's a leader that my father once followed. You could have that, and everybody would know what they meant, and then Bray could come in. Like, could they do that? They could. I think the best thing people want to see is the Adam Page thing coming in and saying, guys, we got to be one together. And I think that could work.
It's going to be Cody, because everyone is saying Dark Order is fine.
Yeah.
You know, Cody started that with Bullet Club is fine.
Yep.
He's going to be the leader here. His family has been killed. Malakai Black has literally killed them all. He was turned on by his other family. He needs a group to stabilize him and to tell him when to not get bad tattoos.
Yeah.
Dark Order can certainly do that.
No, he just gets the Dark Order tattoo on the other side of his neck.
Great. Okay. Be awesome, actually. Am I the only person who's like, everyone's overthinking this with with Bray and all this? It's Hangman.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's just Hangman.
Yeah, the story is very clear, and I don't see them deviating from that. But I guess it's fun to fantasy book and ask, hey, where can Bray Wyatt end up? I personally don't even think he gets to AEW. I don't think that move happens anytime soon.
Have you not read the sheets, D-Valise?
That's all I do for a living, Jeremy. You know this.
Tully Blanchard wants to kill Sting. Let him fight.
I love it. I love it. I'll be the first person here on this podcast to say I will watch that match all day long. Give me Tully Blanchard and Sting in 2021, please.
Here's what I got to do. This is they have to set this the whole thing up,
and that's how they introduce Flair into AEW.
Yes.
Is Flair's the guy who comes in there and he's got to pick a side, and he makes us all think that he's choosing Sting, including Sting. Sting thinks that Flair's on his side, and then Flair turns on Sting
again.
Let's do it.
And they got the perfect setup for this. Very clear. Tully Blanchard was supposed to come into the Four Horsemen like 30 years ago. Didn't happen. They replaced him with Sting. Just run it right back.
That's the proper introduction for Ric Flair, right? Yeah. If you're not going to do the Andrade partnership, it's just turning on Sting.
Yeah. Yeah.
However you're going to do it, just turning on Sting. That's the way to do it. We had a women's division highlight package and action. Many sevens. Many zeros seven says AEW is low-key building a women's tag division. They held a tag team tournament, and then one of the half of the winners got fired, and then the other half is on Dark. What are we doing with this tag team tournament?
They built it around Brandy and Allie, and then halfway through decided, oh, Allie just got bored and went back to the Butcher and the Blade. I don't know. It's been a lot of weird bumps in the road for this division, but I'm here for it if they want to do a women's tag division.
They have a stacked women's division. There is no excuse for not running two simultaneous feuds where women are like being utilized well on both Dynamite and Rampage. We had tonight Ruby versus Hayter on Dynamite. That was our only match. And our only women's match on Rampage is basically that with other women involved in it too. And it's just like, you could figure out a way to make two things coincide really, really well. And they're not doing that. Like if these women are truly signed to AEW, like people like Thunder Rosa should never not be on a Dynamite. She's super over. She's amazing. I know you don't want to, you gotta, she's not ready to have that title match because you don't want to take the belt off of Britt, then figure out something else for Thunder Rosa to do every week because she's great. It doesn't make any sense for them not to do that.
Yeah.
They have a women's division. This is my biggest complaint about AEW. They showcased it right here, right? Like these guys have been saying, just do more. Do more with it. You can do more than one feud. We love the Tall Paul chants and stuff. I don't need this taking up time on Dynamite, Billy Gunn turns in 2021. I don't need Dan Lambert promos.
No follow-up on that, by the way. What are we going to get Billy Gunn follow-up?
Billy Gunn versus Paul White at Arthur Ashe. They're going to have 17 matches on the card.
It's to pop the New York territory. That's right. What they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
The Elite came out. The Elite, they came out. And, you know, they're still on top of the wrestling world, and they introduced their buddy Adam Cole, baby. He has a boom in his entrance, but he didn't time it.
He didn't quite figure it out yet, but I think he will. I think the crowd will. I think it's going to be great.
So I did the research on this because I'm a journalist. The boom on the Undisputed Era entrance hits at about 50 seconds. And then the booms on this new entrance, it hits very early, like 3 seconds in. It also hits at about 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and about a minute and a half. So his timing's
all off. Yeah, I get it.
So he will get it. He'll get it with some practice because he didn't get to do it at All Out. And this was his first like real kind of opportunity. He'll get the boom down, though. Just wait for the pop when he hits the boom. He was just a little early, right? He was in between. He was caught in between.
He was about 10 seconds early.
Yeah. Got to saunter down to the ring a little bit more on that one, Adam Cole. Adam Cole comes in. And the first thing he does is he bullies Tony Schiavone and says, if you look at my girl the wrong way, I'm going to kick your ass, nerd.
Get out of the ring, nerd.
Nerd.
Get out of the ring, nerd.
The Twitch streamer just calling people nerds. Like Tony Schiavone, I'd be worried about that guy too. All right. That's a good looking gentleman. That's a handsome man. We know he can spit some game and everything. I'd be worried about that man too, Adam Cole.
What I love is that, I mean, obviously people are happy to see him. Everyone loves Adam Cole. He's amazing. And it's one of the most fun things in the world to do, to throw up the sign and go, Adam Cole, baby. It's so cool that somebody made an Adam Cole's Muppet Bebe's t-shirt, them all doing the pose, and I bought it. That's how cool it is. So they don't want you to get all caught up in how cool Adam Cole is, because they want him to be a heel, but they're not having to come out and cut an "all you people never really cared for me" promo. They're having him come in there and dress down a legend in the business who everybody loves, Tony Schiavone. Get up in his face, accuse him weirdly of trying to hit on his girlfriend, and then calling him a nerd, and keep just forcing him to get out of the ring in a really weird, belligerent way. So like, hey, this guy we like to chant for may not be the nicest fellow. Like, good. We're able to establish that he's a heel and tell us not to cheer for him in a very organic way. Fine. Great. Adam Cole is an absolute star. He's so magnetic. I love Kenny Omega, but his whole shtick is that it's shtick. He's doing the heel thing where he's kind of a goofball, and then you get him in the ring and he's a murderer. But Adam Cole is just the most magnetic, charismatic personality. So while I don't see him turning face on Kenny, I do see them splitting the group and doing like a kind of like a cool heels and goofy heels thing that they might do. They might wait around until the beginning of next year when Kevin Steen can show up and they can run a Mount Rushmore faction up against the other half of the Elite. That could be fun too. But Cole can't play second fiddle to Kenny Omega for very long. He's too damn magnetic.
And that was my problem from the minute the man stepped into the ring at All Out. It was, oh my God, they're all together. Yay. But he can't be the guy in the background. It worked the first time because he was the guy up front with Kenny mostly handling the Japan stuff. Adam Cole is too good. I'm so glad he's here. I can't wait to watch him every single week. NXT is gone now because Adam Cole is somewhere else. So thank God for that. But I can't wait to watch more of Adam Cole every single week and more of him bullying Shivani. That's so perfect.
Adam Cole said the Elite is complete with him. And I'm completely with you guys on Cole. He's too good. He really established himself as the top guy in NXT and went to another level. I remember when he came to NXT, like the knock on him was like, he's not a top guy. The ROH run was a little bit disappointing. You know, he's good, but like he didn't really move the needle with ROH. And people were a little skeptical on how he would do in NXT. He was on a different level in NXT, absolutely different level. And now he comes to AEW, and I get it's a different game and everything, and Omega's really established himself in AEW, but Cole has reached that level. And it was weird. He's like Young Bucks' best tag team, and he called himself like a once-in-a-generation talent. And he's like, also, Kenny Omega, once-in-a-generation talent. It's the Joe Rogan thing where he just calls like every good fighter, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime talent right here. It's like, okay, if you have five once-in-a-lifetime talents, then we're living multiple lifetimes, I guess, because that's not how these things work. At some point, that split will happen. I don't know when. I think they will take a while with it. At some point, it will come. And I didn't like when Omega basically just so Omega's like, I don't like interruptions. Danielson gets interrupts him, comes out. And then Omega's like, guys, get out of the ring. I don't need that. It made everybody else look like they're just below him. Yep. And I guess being the champion, they are. But I didn't like what that did to Cole, because I think Cole, he should be on that level. And he shouldn't just, all right, I'm just going to get out of the ring like these tag team guys here. I don't think that's what should have happened. So, but they got out of the ring. Danielson and Omega come face to face. And Danielson's like, you guys want me to beat the shit out of this guy. And the crowd, of course, is liking it. He's like, well, he's scared. He's a coward because he knows I'm better than him, and he knows I'm going to kick his head in. And then Omega swung. Danielson got him in the yes lock. Elite come in to jump him. Big save with Christian, Jurassic Express, and Kazarian. And then Danielson and the babyfaces stood tall. Seems like they're setting up a big multi-man match at Arthur Ashe. What did you think of the Danielson portion of this segment, Robert?
I thought that was very good as well. I agree with you 100%. Omega telling everybody to clear the ring and Cole just going. Adam Cole beat Daniel Bryan in the middle of the ring on SmackDown. Like, Adam, he's better than this. But hopefully we get there. I agree with you. I think it'll be a huge multi-man at Arthur Ashe. He looks like he's having the time of his life, doesn't he? Bryan Danielson just looks happy to be there and so rejuvenated, and everything just feels great and exciting and happy. And I also want to shout out Marco Stunt for perfectly jumping into Brandon Cutler's arms and just pretending to wail away on him. I just thought that that was a thing of beauty.
Alex?
Yeah, I think it is very ironic. Our friend, Fightful friend, Big Money Drew, tweeted this out, and I retweeted it. It's so true. Everyone was like, CM Punk, man, he's going to come in there and insert himself into the top program and politic his way into a match with Kenny and make sure he can get the belt off of Kenny. And then Adam Page is going to get shunted to the wayside. Meanwhile, Danielson, because he's the real kind of wrestler, he's going to work his way up, going to do some stuff with the Dark Kids. And eventually, maybe 2-3 years from now, he'll get his first title match. And what's happening? It kind of feels like it's the opposite, because I just think it's really funny that, like, Danielson's in here is like, no, I don't want to, like, mentor anybody. Yeah. I want to kick these kids' heads off.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thing, because we never got to see that side of Bryan Danielson. Of the Americanial Dragonson, we never got to see that on WWE, not really. And I'm very excited to see that. And also, it's not like I want that title. It's just like I want to beat you. And I think maybe they wind up doing that match at some point when the title's not on the line. Like Kenny's like, no, you can't have a shot at this. And like Brian's like, I don't want one. I don't want your belt. I want your head. Like, I think that would be a really cool thing for him to do. I don't know. Because if we're all saying that we still believe that Tony is sticking to his guns and will wait for Paige to get back, and when Paige finally gets the match versus Kenny, that's when Kenny loses the belt. If we're all saying that we still believe it, and I personally do, then how far are they going to hold this off? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I got to say, Daniel Bryan and his last run on SmackDown was so just like, I want to help the young guys, and I want to wrestle Drew Gulak, and oh, I want to help Big E, and I'm in the main event of WrestleMania, but I don't really need to be there, but they want Daniel Bryan's name attached, and he leaves, and he's just like, yeah, fuck all that noise, I want to kick these kids' heads in, and I'm the best, and I'm going to make them prove that they're elite. It's so perfect, and I love watching it happen.
I mean, that's what Dark is for, right? If he wants to wrestle these young guys, I told you, Danielson, he's just going to be like, pull a name out of a hat, give me 12 to 15 minutes, and I'll work them on Dark. But the main show stuff, yeah, let me do these big matches. Let me do Omega. Let me wrestle Cole. Let me wrestle one of the Young Bucks. Give me both of them, whatever. Like he's going to do top guy stuff on Dynamite and stuff. That match does not need the title. I'm two minds on this. One, it definitely doesn't mean that. Two, I still think they're sticking with Hangman. At some point, they're not going to do a long title reign. We've done three straight long title reigns. Yeah. There's going to be a short reign in this mix, and it might be Hangman's short reign.
I've always thought that Paige doesn't need a long title reign. The moment is him finally getting that title and beating Omega for it. And once he has it, the chase is over. Him being the champion isn't necessarily like he's going to be made forever once he beats Kenny for that belt. I'm not saying you take it off him on the next Dynamite, but I could see like a 2-month reign, and
that the kind of guy you take it off of him with is a guy like Miro, who's proven that he's absolutely ready for that kind of level in this company too. So there's a lot of cool things they could do with that, but you don't need guys to have 7, 8, 9, 14 month title reigns. You just don't need it. You can figure out a way to get more guys to say that they are a former AEW champion. It really rings. It has a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
Sawyer says, I can see Hangman taking issue with being replaced by Cole and the Elite and him declaring the group complete. Does he have to go through Adam before Kenny, you think?
So here's the fun part in that. Adam Cole made the decision to put Hangman Page in the Bullet Club. Adam Cole's the reason Hangman's there. The only reason Hangman was moved up is because Cole was killed off. You know, they can really play on that. And I think at some point the Elite really will be complete. It just won't be for a while because Hangman needs to get that belt off of Kenny. I don't think they need to do it at Full Gear. I think you can do Hangman Punk at Full Gear because Punk can say, I can help you stop drinking. You need to get your mind right, and I'm going to help you. They can do that at Full Gear while Danielson has a quick reign against Omega and beats him for the belt.
Mike Provenger says, give me Hangman beating Kenny at Full Gear, then almost immediately losing it to Cole. I like that.
Anything that puts Adam Cole at the top of anything, I'm all for.
I think Hangman's got to be the one to take the belt off of Kenny. And I do think it is going to be a short thing. Like, he gets it. Maybe he's like, all right, well, I'm good. And he over-celebrates. And then he immediately, like, that's almost like falling off the wagon. And then he immediately loses it. And it's like, nah, dude, like, you beat it, you reach, but, like, you still ain't there yet. Like, you're still not this whole person that you think you are. And the moment is that title win. They complete that part of the story. But that story, like, his overall story, not over yet. Wyatt Todd says Cole and Bucks would make great first time trios champions.
I agree.
I think Cole's bigger than that, though. I think he's bigger than that. Joel Wood says, with Brian having a good relationship with WWE, do you see him actually trying to cultivate a working relationship between WWE? And WWE doesn't know AEW's not competition. Like, they don't know they exist. No, Brian doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, Brian would probably like to. He mentioned offhand, like, oh, they were going to let me do some stuff elsewhere, but he never elaborated, and maybe we find out one day, or maybe the forbidden door just does fall down and everybody's just working with everybody. Who the hell knows?
I'd be shocked if WWE worked with AEW in any type of capacity.
Yeah, like hell would have to freeze over after Vince McMahon is already in there. Like, there's just no way Vince will put it in his will. Like, you will never, no, whoever takes over is never allowed to do business with that place.
Yeah, but Vince's father probably put it in his will that you can't cross boundaries. So who really cares?
Well, like, yeah, that's true.
Tyrone Kidd says, shout out to Brian Danielson and Fred McCrunk Anthem of 2021. It is a good song. We all wanted Final Countdown. It's a good song. Brandon Tungate says, Paige taking the title sends Kenny down to a spiral with Adam Cole betraying him, a la Kenny did to AJ Styles. And for that, like, whatever elevates Cole kind of above and out of this sort of secondary role he's in right now. Nikolai Kreese says, I could see Adam Cole being the catalyst that brings the real Bullet Club and bring in Jay White and everybody. They can't use the Bullet Club trademark. They can't. That's New Japan property. And I don't see how that's happening. Maybe he brings in like his own group and leads them, but it ain't gonna be no Bullet Club stuff. Nerd Gruber says the Elite stuff is missing two pieces. That's Balor and Styles. I don't think either of them were in the Elite, but there's no Elite without Balor. I don't know what Balor's contract is like. I think Styles is WWE for life. And
I think Styles is WWE for life as well.
We'll see what happens with Balor whenever that time comes. Joey Bag of Donuts says, yeah, Adam Cole, Tony is really going to steal your girl. He is. Good looking man. Very charismatic, Tony Schiavone. Got some stories too. Nerd Adam Cole, Twitch streaming. The Wrestling Kiwi says, are we getting a match between Brian Omega and Arthur Ashe based on the Elite segment tonight? It doesn't need to be for the title. I think they're doing a big multi-man.
I think they'll probably do that thing where it's Brian and Christian and Jurassic Express. It'll be that kind of thing.
Yeah. Tony Khan's a lunatic, though. He might just be like, you know what? Screw
you never
it.
Know.
Brian and Omega, Arthur Ashe.
Like, if Brian and Omega happens at Arthur Ashe and then, like, Omega wins via chicanery, like the rest of the Elite get involved or whatever. After that match, that's when you could see the return of Hangman Page for the biggest pop ever to close out the show. They could be booking toward that.
Nerd Guru says, do you guys think Adam Cole is a double agent? As in, I assume that means like working outside of the Elite and not he's in there to Vince Russo and ruin AEW.
No, I think Adam Cole got paid a lot of money to go play with his friends. And damn it, who wouldn't take a lot of money to just go have fun with their friends and their girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yes. I could see a sort of a double agent thing of he's there with the Elite, but he's working on his own stuff on the side. I don't know with who. Maybe it is like with Danielson or with Punk. It's like the former WWE guys are working together. Yeah, I'm not putting Adam Cole as a second fiddle guy though. If he's gonna break away from the Elite, he's starting his own group and he's leading that group.
Yeah.
Final segment of the night, John Moxley against Minoru Suzuki. People are very mad about Kazuninare being cut off. What do we got? Oh, we still have okay. Louis, you're all over the place and screwing up my rhythm here on the document. August 3rd says, shame on AEW for not playing Suzuki's full intro. What a faux pas they committed. Shame this company. They should be ashamed of themselves. Okay, match. Do we want to shame? Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
You know, damn you for giving us one of the best pay-per-views on Sunday. You didn't play the song on Wednesday, so damn you to hell.
Kenshiro says 0 out of 5 show. They cut off Kazuninare. Tony Khan is a fake fan. Valaba says, looks like they had to cut Kazuninare or TV Ashi would have gotten the program pulled. Guess we can only hear it on pay-per-view and strong New Japan. I think Ross Berman tweeted that as a joke. I don't think that's legit.
Ross Berman, much like Jeremy Lambert, tweets many things as a joke. The fact that you believe it is a credit to Ross Berman.
Ross and I just get stoned and we come up with ideas of like, what are we gonna tweet today?
I mean, they may have made the decision that it's not worth the headache if anybody's gonna make us stink about it. And they apparently that was the wrong decision because it was a much bigger stink, the fact that they didn't play it.
In action, Mini07 says, something ran long tonight. Main event seemed like it was totally rushed from Kazuninare being cut to half the match running during commercials. I don't know if something ran long. I don't know why they cut Kazuninare. It certainly should have been played. Everyone was expecting it. So in that, because they did it at the pay-per-view, you don't bring in Suzuki and then don't do that. And if you do, you warn people. You'd be like, hey, you know, it ain't going to happen. Prepare yourselves. Because that's part of the whole moment with Suzuki. It was a fairly short match. And it did run through a commercial break. And then Moxley had about 5 minutes to celebrate amongst the Cincinnati crowd after it was over. I thought it was good. It was hard hitting. But, like, I've seen this match in New Japan. And I've seen a much better version of this match. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't really feeling this, Alex.
I mean, it was fine. I feel like a match between Suzuki and Moxley isn't going to be bad. It's just going to be not as good as the rest of them. And it was over too fast. And a lot of it happened during the picture-in-picture break. I thought there was like Suzuki getting color really helped for me at the end of the thing. Him, you know. Wipe it like and licking his own blood because he's, you know, he's a crazy murder grandpa. Like I think it's kind of it's one of those things of like, I don't want to lose sight of just how crazy it is that John Moxley wrestled Minoru Suzuki on TNT on Dynamite from Cincinnati. Like how, like just everybody's like, oh, boo, they didn't play my favorite part of his song. Like, think about globally what this means. It's a really cool thing that happened. Did it happen perfect? No, but the fact that it happened at all is kind of crazy. But I think it's awesome. I think it's the reason I thought that Moxley, like, the thing ended and Moxley was running around the thing all the time is that they were going to get Tanahashi up on the big Jumbotron thing and say, okay, I'm ready now. And how about Arthur Ashe? I thought they might be doing that because it didn't make any sense to me to end the match so early.
Tanahashi's got to work the G1.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
I didn't think about the crossover, the time periods.
Yeah. But this match was fine. Like, it is awesome. Everything Alex says holds true. This is super cool. Don't lose sight of that. But this match was definitely rushed, and it felt like they had a little bit more planned. I also noticed Mox say, give me a mic, and nobody gave him a mic. So he just walked around his hometown crowd and had fun with the people.
Somebody says, Sawyer says, Dan Lambert's segment stole Suzuki's entrance.
See, that's who we should be mad at. Yeah. Not Tony Khan. Be mad at Dan Lambert.
Fine.
Damn him.
Being mad at Dan Lambert. People are commenting on Arthur Ashe. Real quickly, though, we've got a couple super chats on just kind of overall thoughts. Lisa Lockhart, good pal, says, Adam Cole, Brian Danielson, Ruby Soho, my heart is full. That was the fastest 2 hours ever, wasn't it? Another great show. And the Kentucky Kid says, just left the show. Freaking awesome night. Such a fun show. But Rampage, holy shit. Hey, we got Rampage spoilers up on the website right now if anybody wants to go check them out. But I've heard very good things about the Pac and Andrade match, so I imagine that'll get a lot of love on Friday. Overall thoughts on this show, Divalise?
Really good show. Fast 2 hours. This promotion is in a can't-miss mode right now, so the first time they really break the hearts of the fans is going to be a real test, because right now they can't miss. But overall, I loved it.
Alex?
I thought they were going to capitalize a little bit more on the awesomeness that was All Out. I don't know with what exactly, but it didn't feel like there was enough, like, hey, we've got all the momentum in the world from, like, there's no way you could have as good a press coming out of All Out. It's the best reaction by people who didn't see it are like, we're talking about how great it was. Like, did you see it? No, but I heard it was awesome. And the way to capitalize on that is with a much bigger, more high profile show than what today was. I thought it was fine. Dynamites aren't bad. I haven't seen a bad Dynamite, like, ever. But you could have made this one a lot more impactful than it was. I kind of wonder why you do the what by all accounts amazing Pac versus Andrade match taped on Friday as opposed to live on Wednesday. But what are you gonna do?
Dynamite needs a hook. It needs something to sell it. I would have probably moved either the Punk thing or the Danielson thing to Rampage. I would have liked to see that match live. Heard great things. Hopefully it delivers and the spoilers don't kill it, you know? But we'll see.
I thought it was a good show. I'm with Alex. It felt like it needed to be an extra level coming out of All Out. Like, I had the chance to go to the show tonight. It's like a 4 hour drive, but like that's nothing. So I strongly considered going, and when a lot of my pals, Sean and a guy confirmed shoot, they talked about going. I was like, oh man, I feel like I'm gonna miss out on something here. And by the end of it, I was kind of like, eh, and I didn't really feel like I missed too much of anything, especially being at All Out. Had I not been at All Out, maybe my thoughts would have been different. But I was like, yeah, I didn't really feel like I missed too much when it comes to this show. So it was a good show. Like Alex said, Dynamites are very rarely like bad, but I do think maybe it just needed a little extra something more coming out of All Out. But this talent roster is amazing. They have plenty of time to build stuff. Arthur Ashe is going to be something, going to be a spectacle. And speaking of Arthur Ashe, a lot of people got a lot of different ideas for it. Nerd Guru says Arthur Ashe has potential to be an all-timer card, like Cody and Black again, Brian versus Omega, and who knows what else. I'm going. I'm hyped. Have a good time, buddy. Taryn Reddick says Cody Black, Britt Ruby, Miro Kingston, rematch with a stip, Elite versus Christian, Kazarian, Jurassic Express, eight-man tag at Arthur Ashe. Drew Nicholas says, give me everything imaginable at Arthur Ashe. No, I'm totally not biased at all. Yes, I am biased. Love you guys. Love you too, Drew. I think Arthur Ashe is obviously Cody and Black, Britt and Ruby, Miro, Eddie, and I don't know if it's going to be 10-man or if it's going to be 8-man, but I think it's not going to be Christian and Kazarian. It's going to be Brian. Brian's wrestling at Arthur Ashe. I would be shocked if Brian doesn't wrestle at Arthur Ashe. What do we got here? Sawyer says the Cincy crowd, the hot Cincy crowd, made it a 4 out of 5 show. 5 for me. It was a good crowd. It was a good crowd. It came across well on television, I thought. Noah Grimes says, any guesses when Full Gear tickets go on sale? They pushed it back a week. They don't even have a venue announced right now.
But so, Tony is teasing something like really interesting or something.
Yeah, he's teasing as though he's moved the show to something really cool, even though they'll still be in St. Louis the night before. So that's interesting.
Well, they won't because they pushed it back a week. So,
well, no, he says they're still doing Rampage the night before in St. Louis.
So they're going to run St. Louis 2 straight weeks?
They're at least running it the week after or the week that the pay-per-view is being held. Who knows?
Okay. People, we got super chats on the feud, the Wardlow Wars. Ian Hunter says, I'm with Alex. Winner gets control of the mute. Joey Bag of Donuts says, only way to settle the bet, hair versus hair.
I will sign off on hair versus hair right now because I normally shave my head. So I'm fine with that. That's a great idea.
Are you hair willing to do hair. Hair versus hair?
Hair versus hair works for me.
Book it. Someone else, Andrew Thomason said, sorry, I'm late. The bet between Alex and Robert should involve the winner getting full control of the mute button for a week or two. No, we're doing hair versus hair.
Hair versus hair?
Here's about the mute button.
Yeah.
Hair versus hair. Book it. We've got it on record. Both men have agreed. If this doesn't happen, they're both cowards, and I will continue to call them cowards. Some final super chats here. Latrell Hathcock says, I was at the show. SRS walked by me in the long merch line with his fresh SRS ones. Was too nervous to stop him. You should have punched him in the face for wearing those shoes. You can stop Sean. He's a good person.
Yeah.
He would have said hi.
He's a regular guy.
He's very
more
tall.
Than anything. Yeah.
He's very tall. Jeff says, just found out about these live wrestling channels. Donated all of them. Hope $5 is fine for now. Any money is good. Just showing up, just being part of the chat, just saying hi, just watching is very good. Thank you, buddy. I hope you continue to watch. I hope you continue to watch all the shows on Fightful. Robert's here every week. Alex is here every week. Alex does like 15 different shows on this channel. He does NXT on Tuesdays. You should sign up to Fightful Select. And you get like more shows with Alex Pawlowski. It is post shows. Robert does post SmackDown sometimes, and he does post shows sometimes. They're always doing shows. Yeah. I retired from all that stuff. I don't do that stuff anymore, but I do have a show, and it's called The Distraction. Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. We don't talk any wrestling. We do dumb shit. We do dumb shit with our friends on that show. So if you like that, you should watch that. Alex, where can the people find you after I just plugged everything you already do?
you can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. I do the Sour Grap Show, talking about Raw and SmackDown and how much I hate them. And then I do the Tuesday post NXT show with Kate Hensler, who's amazing. We have a lot of fun talking about the slow and painful demise of NXT and how it's all rainbow colored. We've decided, you know how they used to call it, they called it that last night, the black and gold brand. Well, it's no longer that. What can they call it now? We've decided to call it the Skittles brand from now on.
So if only they had JR to plug that. You can follow me on Twitter at Dude Felice. just check me out there and see where else I'm talking into this microphone, because I do that a lot.
Okay, Robert's also doing the news every single day.
Yes.
Fightful.com. You'll see his name all over the website. Andrew Thomason says, Jeremy said, Super Chats will decide the bet. Don't listen to me. I'm an idiot. Jeremy did, then did not submit a Super Chat. Mute button it is. No, but I have overall control of these things. And if both men agree to a hair versus hair match, that's what we're doing. Next week on this show, I'm not here. But in 2 weeks, I will be back because Sean is going Arthur Ashe. In 2 weeks, the contract signing between Robert D. Felice and Alex Pulowski with a hair versus hair match with the Wardlow War.
Oh, you need to have Kate Hensler run in and knock me out and steal the contract and sign it herself.
I don't think she's shaving her
with hair. With a giant blue Sharpie, just mm-hmm. Kate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That would be tremendous. Guys, you can find me, whatever the Twitter, there we go, says right there. Again, yes. Distraction Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. Go to Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We do a bunch of content over there as well. Myself and Joseph Holbert doing a bunch of stuff over there. Joel Pearl sometimes appears on the Twitch. No one actually likes him, though, so you don't have to export him. Ian Hunter says, bet should include facial hair, too.
Shave I did not agree to that. That was not in the contract.
I just did that like 2 weeks ago.
You did it voluntarily. That's not part of my
put hair. In an addendum into the contract there. Thank you to Luis for gathering all the super chats. Thank you to Joel Pearl for moderating the chat tonight. Thanks to everybody for the support and everything. Yes. We'll be back on this channel tomorrow. The show tomorrow is The Distraction, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. I make sure to plug the hell out of that thing because it's the greatest show on the internet. I don't care what anybody else says. And then Friday, we have post SmackDown, and then we have shows probably all week. There's an ROH show this week. I don't think we're doing anything with that. Sean will be back next week. I will be back in 2 weeks. Alex and Robert will remain right here. Everyone, thank you guys. Thank you guys for all the support, the super chats, the thumbs up, the likes, the subscription, all that fun stuff. We'll talk to y'all later on.
Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.